Good morning. Welcome to episode 43 of the Driller Newscast, a weekly update on the news and stories impacting the water well and industrial drilling industry. This is our first episode of 2023, and it's starting off with a bang. On December 30th, the EPA and Army announced the final rule establishing a renewed definition of waters of the United States. Our featured story is on the 2023 Water System Council State of the U.S. Water Well Industry. But before we jump into the first episode of the new year, let's talk some safety. This week's safety topic, it's the first full week of 2023. We're coming off a great holiday. I'm sure we had some out of waters and some other situations that came up that we just had to do. But here we are. We're working on preventative maintenance, and we're thinking about prepping our year. And this is our moment to focus on safety before we get into all of the crazy situations and business and everything that happens, that safety starts to slide back into the back seat and then finally clear back into the back of the truck along with a bunch of broken bags of bentonite. We're not going to let that happen this year. So starting out, I want to do some basic inspection on components that we use every day that we take for granted. I want that to start with ladders. Take a look at the ladders in the shop, the ones that go on the trucks, the ones that we throw into trenches that are for fast egress. You know, when we know that we're going to be in an area where we need to have multiple exits for that trench. We had multiple fatalities in 2022 due to trenches and not having proper shoring and trench boxes. And obviously, exits are very important to that. So if we think about it, we got our steel, we got our aluminum, we got our fiberglass ladders. They all wear differently. They all have different life cycles, and we need to take a look at them. We need to inspect them. We need to understand what type of condition they're in. If we're going to be using that in a basement for a hookup and it doesn't have the right supports or it doesn't have the right feet on it, there's multiple things. And you know, 6 foot and under ladder falls and injuries are pretty prevalent in the construction industry. So let's take a look at those. Next, let's go to hoisting. I want us to look at our hoisting plugs and the threads on them and how cleaned up they are. What is the life cycle of that hoisting plug? Are we still using a quick plug? If we are, it's time to get rid of that. It's time to step into the 21st century and not risk that opportunity for a drill rod to fall, hit somebody in the shoulder, the head, go from catastrophic to just absolute, you know, failure and possible death. How about our elevators? How do they latch? How are they doing? Have we modified them? Have we had to weld up on them? Are they not catching the way they used to? Again, something that we don't want to be chancing. We need to make sure that our hoisting equipment is correct. And if any of us have that spidey sense go off that this doesn't seem right, it's time to replace that equipment. The same with slings and chains. Do they still have the labels on them? Do we know how to use them properly? Are we using them properly? Are they worn? Are there frayed spots? Is it past what the manufacturer's recommendation is for safety? And then that goes right into our wire ropes and cables and understanding there, how do they look? Is there a crease in one? Do we have exposed wires? Finally, let's take a look at our tongs. And I can think of Jordian some well drilling and using the same tongs that my grandfather did to drop 1 inch, an inch and a quarter drop pipe, you know, down a 4 inch well. And literally that's it, you know, drop it opposed to being able to lower it effectively. But these are the things I want us to think about going in. I remember an injury that happened 5, 6 years ago, and I was asking, how did this happen? And the driller goes, well, that was my favorite hoisting plug. That's silly. These are objects. These are safety objects. These are objects for us to do a job. We don't have nostalgia to them. The nostalgia needs to be from remembering using them and not getting hit in the head and no longer remembering how to do our job. One final piece, and I can think of this as I broke a breakout wrench, hit me in the left eye and nose. Let's make sure those jaws are cleaned up or replaced, or have we gone to a Petong wrench, or just considering all that is that as we use a breakout wrench or we're bit breaking, those are all aspects too. So let's do some inspecting. Anything that didn't seem comfortable last year, especially going into the end of the year, this is where those near misses come in. It's time to replace them. Start the year off right. Let's mitigate those 100% hazards that can happen because we're not thinking well enough to do inspecting. And then obviously let's go through the entire rig and hoist and all of our equipment. But right now I want you to think about hoisting suspended loads, ladders, breakout wrenches, elevators. Let's start 2023 off safe and smart. For this week in the news, of course, it's the beginning of 2023. And we got to talk waters of the United States. Why? Because the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Department of Army announced a final rule establishing a durable definition of the waters of the United States on December 30th. This is to reduce the uncertainty from changing regulatory definitions, protect people's health, and support economic opportunity. The final rule restores essential water protection that were in place prior to 2015 under the Clean Water Act for traditional navigable waters, territorial seas, interstate waters, as well as upstream water resources that significantly affect those waters. Think about the cases across the country in 2022 that we had these issues. I think about Massachusetts and what we saw with the EPA there, and all of the cases discussing navigable waters and mining permittings out in the Western United States. These changes back to 2015 will strengthen fundamental protections for waters that are sources of drinking water while supporting agricultural, local economies, and downstream communities. When Congress passed the Clean Water Act 50 years ago, it recognized that protecting our waters is essential to ensuring healthy communities and thriving economies. This is from EPA Administrator Michael S. Reagan. Following extensive stakeholder engagement and building on what we've learned from previous rules, the EPA is working to deliver a durable definition of waters of the United States that safeguards our nation's waters, strengthens economic opportunity, and protects people's health while providing greater certainty for farmers, ranchers, and landowners. This is a pretty big push that the EPA notified the Supreme Court on the 30th and said, listen, we have our final determination. When we know in October of 2022, the Supreme Court started the oral argument on Sackett versus the EPA, which heavily discusses the definitions of the waters of the United States. Their determination could 100% shift what we have just had released. And one of the biggest pieces from the ranchers to Farm Bureau to the American Contractor Association is continuity and how these rules will be enforced. In episode 44 next week, I will have a discussion with our legal water guru, Jesse Richardson, the Water System Council legal advisor. He's one of our best industry advocates, and he has his finger on the pulse of what's going on. For 2023, this isn't the only case in the Supreme Court. They're going to hear several environmental climate cases, with most notably 3M and PFAS against many states. Another big one that should be on your radar is Held versus the state of Montana, where a group of 16 youths claim Montana is violating its own constitution which guarantees a right to a clean and healthful environment. Montana, like many states, promotes fossil fuels, promotes coal, and these are things that we all need to be able to thrive in our economy, but how can we do them more environmentally responsible? Check out Clark Mindock's piece from Reuters titled Environmental Cases to Watch in 2023. It came out on January 3rd. It's going to be an exciting time, and we're just going to have to watch how these legal precedents come out, how the Supreme Court supports each side, and understand that we have many people that need to be able to play in this sector, from clean water for drinking to being able to feed the world and our country and continue to build our local economies. This is the news for us to watch, is what's happening with environmental and climate regulation, legislation, and law in 2023. For our featured story, I have one question for you. Have you gone to the watersystemcouncil.org website and taken the state of the industry survey? This is the second survey. We talked with Margaret Martins last year about this. In the 2022 survey, the average water well contractor had 13 employees and produced $1.9 million in revenue. 68% of the respondents for this survey rate the impact of regulation on their business as moderate to significant. Again, we just covered what's happening in legislation, and the definition of waters of the United States could 100% start defining what groundwater is. Drillers, it's time to step up and take the 2023 survey. In 2022, the highest participation came from California, Florida, New York, North and South Carolina, Texas, Virginia, and Washington. Come on, Great Lakes states and Midwest. We know there's lots of water wells drilled there. We have great companies that need to participate from your region. I'm going to sit down with Margaret Martins and have a discussion about the importance of the 2023 State of the Industry Survey and why we need to be participating. We have 1 week to get this done. Hopefully you participated while you were at the National Groundwater Convention or earlier, but now is the time. I will make sure this goes out on social media and LinkedIn and all of the rest of the ways for you to be able to click on this link, but we need to be participating. This is how our vendors, suppliers, manufacturers, investors all continue to innovate and advocate for how great our industry is, along with our voice being heard. I want you to consider that only 15% of the voting population of the United States has a privatized well. So it is very important for us to have our voice heard and to let all of those folks know that are moving away from cities into rural areas that can have a privatized well, how safe, productive, and rewarding they are to have control of your water system. For this week's feature, we have Margaret Martins of the Water System Council to talk about the 2023 State of the United States Water Well Drilling Industry Survey, which, hey drillers, hey pump setters, hey industry, you have until January 15th to go to the watersystemscouncil.org website and take this survey. And it's very important. So we got a couple minutes with Margaret, who is very busy. This is the beginning of the year. There's so much going on with water. Tell us, Margaret, how did this come to be? This is the second year. Why haven't we been doing this longer?
It's a very good question, Brock. So I will tell you, I'm going to give credit to our previous board member, Bo Anderson. Bo, for many years, has been saying that the water well industry needs an industry survey and report. And so he had been encouraging us to do this for quite a while. And to be perfectly honest, it's a sizable financial commitment for us to be doing this. And so we really worked hard to get to a place where we could undertake this financially. And at the same time, we certainly thought it was an extremely important survey and report that we could use in many different ways. So we saw other, like the Waterworks, American Waterworks does a big survey that Bo had shared with me. Other industries do this as well. It's a great, great way to show, put a face on the work of the industry and the participants in the industry, and also, you know, cover things that are of importance to people within the industry.
How has participation been this year so far?
It's been very good. It's been on par with last year. Last year, we had a total of 830 participants. Right now, I think we're about 700 and between 750 and 800 participants. Again, a large number of the participants have been well contractors, which is wonderful, because it's that's what really our manufacturers and distributors like to see, is what the well contractors are thinking about and what they are doing. And at the same time, with this, all this information from the well contractors can take the report and see how they stand next to their fellow well contractors. The report is even broken down by region on many issues, like number of rigs, per contractor, as far as number of wells drilled, that type of thing. So it's even broken out regionally. So well contractors can actually use this document to do some benchmarking to see where they are as in relationship to other well drillers in their area.
What I thought was unique is, as I look at the map for 2022 and the participation, Texas, Florida, and California are water-stressed states.
Yes.
And those water well contractors are very busy, but they were also the ones to do the most participation.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the Midwest and the Great Lakes states, and I'm just calling you guys out, you gals out. We drill a lot of water wells. We need to get on the survey and show our representation.
Yes, certainly.
What findings? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, as I was going to say, certainly I know that Michigan is one of the top states for wells, because it's also a part of the report. We do we have a chart that shows number of wells drilled per state starting in 2016. So last year's report was 2016 through 2020. So this one's will be 2016 through 2021. And I know from that report that Michigan drills a lot of wells. In fact, when I heard that number, I was like, are you sure? So, yeah.
What was surprising from last year's report, from the vendor and distributor side to just the industry, of going, oh, wow, we had no idea?
Okay, well, so the thing I found most interesting was a question about technology. I know that our manufacturer members are developing all sorts of new technology for their products. And I think that a lot of manufacturers believe that maybe contractors are a little leery of that new technology. Well, let me tell you, in the report, there was, I'm going to try to find it, there was like almost between 90 and 98% of respondents said that they were, and again, mostly contractors, said they were very interested in utilizing new technology. So that's something that the manufacturers can really grab a hold of and run with, you know? So that was really surprising. One thing that really was, it was something that we all know about that really came to light and is concerning, is that the worker age distribution.
55 and older.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the average well contractor is approximately 11 years older than the average U.S. worker. And so that, you know, of course, just brings to light a worry that we've all had in this industry, and that is that we are not getting enough young folks coming up the ranks. So again, that focuses us on an area that we need to exactly be working on. So
has there been a discussion on what's an ideal number of companies surveyed that would give us a broader scale? Is there a challenge we can put out to the industry to say, we'd really love to see X number of contractors?
Well, I would love to get, I'd love to get that response number up to 1,000. That would be fabulous. We've still got the incentive out there that all participants are entered into a raffle where they can win a $250 Visa gift card for their participation. So at Groundwater Week, we gave away a drone. We're giving away our 13th edition of our Water Systems Handbook. I just talked to that contractor today, and he was very excited because he says he's got to study for his test. So he's very excited about getting the handbook. So, you know, there's still an opportunity for folks to participate. You know, our Water Systems Council members are, we've got most of the major manufacturers of the products that go into wells. But I will tell you, at Groundwater Week, I went around to every booth and I had postcards that had a QR code on it that would take people directly to the survey. And I asked everybody at Groundwater Week to participate. So if there's anybody out there that got that postcard or that remembers me coming around and bothering them at Groundwater Week, I waited till the very end because it was a really busy Groundwater Week. But if they recall my ask, if they would still be willing to participate, that would be fantastic. And the deal is too, you participate, you get a copy of the report. And I tell you what, we've been sending them out digitally, but I did print some up for our board and things. And when I am at a trade show and I've got that report in my hand, every well contractor wants that report. So I'm telling folks, you'll love it when you see the information that's available in the 2023 report.
And that's ideal because we are a civilization of data at this point. And yes, as I've said before, privatized wells is, you know, about 15% of our voting population, you know, no different than when we look at our contractors of being 0.5% of 7.6 million construction workers. It's very important for us to know what the playing field looks like and all the other great things that Water System Council is doing about educating people about not having to hook up to pipelines. Right. Or being able to fund those folks that need a water well that can't afford it. And this data does this. So we as an industry need to be paying attention and supporting you. And I'll open the floor. What are you excited about for 2023 in the Water System Council?
Well, we're always excited in spring about our spring fly-in. And again, this ties into this report because we plan it so that the report is available when we head to the Hill. So we can hand that report. We do make hard copies for all our Hill visits, and we hand that information to representatives. And when we're talking about we need more funding for training and technical assistance for private well owners, or advocating for more funding for the Water Well Trust, the pot of money from USDA that we get funded from, we can show them in the report how important the industry is, and the numbers really support that. So I'm always very excited to be advocating for the industry on the Hill. You know, other things that we are excited about is besides the report is all the opportunities to advocate. We have our hotline, for instance, that we get about 250 calls a month. What we are going to be doing is, and we also have Well Owners Network, that is we've got about 12,000 private well owners that receive quarterly newsletters about the important things they should be thinking about for their wells. We are going to try to take all that information and resources out to tribes. The, you know, there's such a lack of good quality drinking water on many tribal properties. And so, and the federal government is really advocating to be working more on making safe drinking water available for Native Americans. And so we are really excited to be expanding our reach out to tribal areas throughout the United States. We think that's really important. We've done a little bit of work with tribes, but we really want to push out our information on to tribes so that they understand that we are here as a resource to help them, because there are a lot of private wells on tribal property. So We're excited to be working in that new direction. So,
and we need safe private wells. We have covered the Navajo Nation in New Mexico,
yes,
and the amount of water wells that are out there that are not potable or are not safe, that have been contaminated. And this education and level, you know, these are sovereign nations of our, the people who built this world that we live in.
That's correct.
They need good, clean water. And as we look at the Colorado Compact, or let's even go back to Massachusetts and, you know, the upper Northeast, there's plenty to do right now with Native American tribes working to have better water security and food security. And that's a great initiative. And it's something we as the water well community need to be paying attention to you and seeing how we can help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's a lot of opportunity there to do a lot of good work. So we are very excited about that. So,
well, I know you are very busy and I appreciate your time. And when is this survey up? January 15th?
The survey will be closing at the end of the day on January the 15th. And it only takes about 10 minutes, maybe 15 to take the survey. But again, the information that everybody provides, it creates a wonderful report for the industry and is a great resource for everybody involved.
Thank you. And thank you to the Water Systems Council and all of the support that you guys have gathered through the other big associations and all of the manufacturers for bringing this together. This is a big upbringing and we're very thankful you're doing it.
Well, we're very excited about it. And we're really excited to share it with everybody once the report's available in probably late March. So,
excellent. Go to watersystems.org. And right there, as soon as you get there, you'll see, take the survey.
Yeah. And, watersystemscouncil.org.
I am so sorry. Watersystemscouncil.org.
Yeah.
And then click on take the survey.
Yeah. It's right on the slider at the top of the homepage. You just click on it and it'll take you right to the survey.
Well, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I want to thank you for joining us for episode 43 of the Driller Newscast, the first episode of the year. There's lots going on in 2023 that we need to be paying attention to, including what's going on with the Colorado Compact still. Of course, we've had plenty of snow. We're 179% up on our snowpack, but it's going to take decades of good snowpack along with adequate control of how we use and recycle our water. Come back next week for a discussion with Jesse Richardson so we can talk some more about waters in the United States and who is advocating for us and who is advocating against clean water. I want to thank Margaret Martins for coming on and talking about the 2023 State of the Industry Survey and why we all need to be participating. And one last piece, let's check all of those continually used components that we use on job sites and hoisting and breakout and handling tooling and make sure that they're in good working condition and replace those that are not. Have a safe and productive week and let's start 2023 off right. Thank you.